Let's talk books. And Catherine Robertson is a novelist, also a reviewer. She's on the Book Awards Trust and the Verb Wellington Trust, and she joins me for her regular Tuesday slot with us. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, nice to hear your voice, Catherine. I haven't heard it for a while. Has Level 4 life been for you? Have you been in Hawke's Bay?
Yeah, we made a last-minute decision to drive up here to Hawke's Bay and spend lockdown up here because our house in Wellington is very small, and I thought it would just we'd drive each other mad trying to work together, so we came up here to a bit more space.
Yeah, and how's it been?
It's been really good, yeah. I mean, if I don't think more than a couple of days ahead, then the existential dread doesn't set in too badly, you know.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah. So at the moment, I'm just sort of going day to day, and that seems to be working. Although, you know, things that hit you every so often, like being able to go out today and go and get a takeaway coffee and things like that, how weird it felt. And yet that's sort of, you know, closer to normal than we have been. Strange, eh?
Is my favourite little Hawke's Bay coffee place, the little one by the bridge next to the river.
Is
that open?
Yeah, Red Bridge, that's where we went. It was fantastic. It was busy as well. I think everybody who is queuing for Macca's and some other places, everybody around here is queuing for Red Bridge.
Yeah, and I guess it's social in a way, even if everyone's doing their best to maintain their distance and do the right thing. You would see familiar faces. You're not going to ignore people, are you?
No, and I think it's just nice to see the people who haven't been able to be in business over the last 4 weeks to be finally out there and doing what it is that they do best. And that was, I think, just being able to support them from, you know, early morning of the first day that we could support them be great.
Last time you were on, we talked about keeping a book-related lockdown diary. Did you go ahead and do that?
I kind of did, yeah. I sort of went back and I thought about all the things that I'd been doing it's only been 4 weeks, but it seems like, such a long time. Somebody said something like, does March normally have 365 days? And I think lockdown felt a bit like that as well. But I'd made quick notes of what I'd been doing. And of course, you know, pre-lockdown, I had to go and clear all my stuff out of the International Institute of Modern Letters because my writer's residency is now having to be conducted from my own residence.
Well, hang on.
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is. But, I mean, technically, I'm not doing anything differently. I'm just doing it in a different place. So it works out fine for me. But I am still supervising. I took on supervising two of the MA and creative writing students. So I do them on alternate weeks every fortnight, and that we just do it via FaceTime, and they send me their work and we have a chat. And that's actually been really great. It'll be lovely to see them in person. I'm actually looking forward to getting back there and seeing them in person. That will be great.
Are you writing as well?
Yeah, I am. I'm doing some edits. Well, I'm doing two things. I'm doing research for the book that I've been working on and that I'll probably try and start writing at maybe end of May, beginning of June. That's about the history of, my husband's story of being in the Wainuiomata Cycling Club. So we had good fun, actually. When we came up here, we had a bunch of stuff stored, so we went through a whole bunch of old photos. And so I've got some great resource material, which is excellent, and just have to figure out the chronology of it now, which will be good fun. So I'm doing the research for that, but I was doing the edits for the third Gabriel's Bay book. I wrote it last year and I sent it off to my editor, and then she said, I thought you were going to write like the third book in a trilogy, and I'd just written like the third book in a series. And so she said, I would really like all these storylines to be wrapped up that you started in the first book. I know. And I sort of mentally did this calculation. I went, right, okay, that's about 50% of the book having to rewrite it. And then it turned out to be about 80% of the book. So it's taken me a long time, but I'm really happy with it. She was totally right. I should have done that. I should have just had a chat to her beforehand, but you know, these things happen.
So what have you been reading?
I've been reading a lot. I think, you know, people who like to read on lockdown has sort of been a bit of a blessing, really. But I grabbed the books that I hadn't read, you know, and shoved as I hastily packed up to come up here. I read Eamon Mara's debut novel, 2,000 Feet Above Worry Level, which is by Victoria University Press. Oh, it's fabulous. It's sort of interconnected short stories. And it's just beautifully done. It's funny and it's poignant. It's sad but delightful as well. I read a funny little book I picked up in Volume Books in Nelson called Ness, N-E-S-S, and it's a tiny little slim volume, and it's by Robert McFarlane, who writes about words and about the countryside. You can see him, his columns quite often on The Guardian, and he's written some books as well. And a lovely illustrator, Stanley Donwood, whom I hadn't heard of before I got this book. And it's just a weird little, it's a little fable, like a little environmental fable. It's very, very sweet.
And it was a really Ness.
Yes, yeah, it was a really nice one. I mean, this is the beginning, it says, of the blurb, and it says, somewhere on a salt and shingle island, inside a ruined concrete structure known as the Green Chapel, a figure called the Armourer is leading a ritual with terrible intent, but something is coming to stop him. So, yeah, it's really, really cool. And I'm about 214 pages into The Mirror and the Light, which is the Hilary Mantel's, you know, end of her trilogy about Thomas Cromwell.
Oh, yeah, that seems to be one a lot of people are mentioning that one, actually.
Yeah, well, it's a big, chonky one to be reading, you know, in lockdown, which is always helpful to have a big book, keeps going. I'm really enjoying it. I didn't actually read the first one, but I read the second one and loved it. And I'm very much enjoying this, even though you know it ends badly. You know, Thomas Cromwell does not come to a, he does not get to live happily ever after, let's put it that way.
Right, well, you might know that, but a lot of us would be like a brand new story.
Oh, sorry, dude. No. Spoiler, you just go Google Thomas Cromwell, you know. But yeah, sorry to anybody that I just ruined that one for. Didn't know history.
I'm figuring
if you didn't like history, you probably weren't going to read it anyway, because it's pretty crunchy on the facts, and everybody seems to be called Thomas or Richard. But I did binge read for my escapism. I brought all the kind of kids' books up here to Hawke's Bay, and all my, you know, my kids' books, and all the YA books that I had subsequently collected. So I binge read a whole bunch of Dinah Wynne Jones.
Now let's talk about that, because when I was a kid, I discovered a book by Dinah Wynne Jones and loved it. And she's not, I don't know if she's a particularly famous name, but I was very pleased to introduce my own 9-year-old to a couple of her books, Witch Week and Homeward Bounders, that I'd really enjoyed. Tell me about her. What do you know about her, and how famous is she?
I started reading her when I was a child. She started writing in the 70s. So I think I would have read my first one of hers when I was about 9 years old. She writes fantasy books, mainly around magic. Prior to Harry Potter. And she has a series of books which are known as the Crestomancy Chronicles. So Witch Week is one of those. And Crestomancy is kind of this nine-lifed enchanter. Some of the books are about him when he's a boy, and some are him sort of as an adult. So the most famous one, I think, is Charmed Life, which is a wonderful book, which is the very first one of those. And I read that, and that came out in about 1972 or something like that.
Wow.
It's brilliant. Charmed Life is a fantastic book, but they're all wonderful. I mean, some of them, some bits of them haven't aged well, but 98% of them, it's still fantastic, and thoroughly recommend it to anybody who hasn't discovered her yet. She died a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, but was writing steadily for 30, 40 years. Amazing woman. Fantastic.
And it's definitely YA sort of stuff, isn't it? But you're enjoying it as an adult, as a very literary adult.
I think they're beautifully written, they're very funny, they're very intelligent, and they're one of those books that is the beautiful thing that you can read them at two levels, read them quite easily as a child, and they still give you a lot of pleasure as an adult. So I think she's one of my favourite authors and always has been.
Great. I'm speaking with Catherine Robertson, by the way. Where are you getting these books? Oh, sorry, I just turned my microphone off, Catherine. That's been a bit of a hazard of working at home in my daughter's room. It was a good question, too. Where are you buying your books?
Well, I've been really disciplined, which is partly why I was binge reading the Dinah Wynne Jones. So I'm not going to shop at Amazon. I just waited because I knew the local booksellers would come online again. So I waited, and over the weekend I just put in a massive order at Wardini's, who's my local bookshop, independent bookshop around here, or one of them. And I know Gareth and Lou quite well, so I ordered a whole bunch of crime thrillers, actually, which look quite good. The latest Donna Leon, which is called Trace Elements, and one, and Dervla McTiernan, who's she's an Irish writer, but she lives in Australia, and her first one was called The Ruin, and this one's called The Scholar, so that sounds cool. So I'll be sort of, I think crime is strangely a good thing to read during lockdown. And I've been reading some, I did some reviews. Unfortunately, I did them for The Listener, and of course that, you know, they never got to see. And I've been reviewing for The Listener. I look back, I've been reviewing for 7 years. I mean, it doesn't seem that long, but it is. And it was such a, you know, it's really a privilege to be able to do that. But I did a lovely review. I loved Freya Daly Sagro's debut poetry collection. It's called Head Girl. And I thought that was just brilliant. I absolutely loved it. But I think Catherine Wolfe from The Spin-Off has taken some of The Waifs and Strays. I think they've got to wait till it's, you know, it's legally possible to publish them. So I'm hoping that will come out there. I wrote a rave review about Rajarshi Chakraborty's absolutely mad novel called Shakti. I think I was the last person in the country to read and review it, so that'll teach me for being slow. That's never good. I might send it to him, though.
When Rajarshi was a guest on our show, and after he'd finished his interview, we all had a competition over who was going to be his best friend, because he was just that sort of guy. You just wanted more time with him, and you wanted him to like you.
Well, his books are a bit like that as well. I can definitely, his personality comes out in his books. They're very, very appealing. But Paula Morris, bless her, and the Academy of New Zealand Literature is commissioning a whole lot of new reviews as well. So, yeah, I'm going to read the New Zealand actress Barbara Ewing. She's written a memoir called 1 Minute Crying Time. So I'm going to read that and review it.
And a one quick of the plug cool for things, Oh, yeah, just maybe a quick plug for the Verb organisation's
new
initiative.
Yeah. This is a really cool thing. So Friday, I mean, because I'm on the Verb Trust. Oh, I'm no longer on the Book Awards Trust as well. Mm-hmm. So I left at the beginning of the year, unfortunately. But on the Verb Trust. And so they're going to launch basically a kind of a membership community scheme. And it's launching on Friday. So you can find out about it on verbwellington.nz, the website. So it's going to be super low cost. And it's just a way of, you know, helping to support. I mean, Verb's been a great platform, the Verb events and Lit Crawl, for supporting artists, particularly up and coming and new artists. And so this is just a way to, you know, be part of that and help it. So you are going to get some really nice benefits as a community member. So curated reading lists, community events where you get to sort of feed into it. You get discounts and pre-sales, etc. And you're going to help new writers get their content published. So when it launches on Friday, there'll be 3 brand new pieces of writing by Aotearoa writers. So this is very exciting, and it's a good new direction for Verb as well, to be doing what they do all year round rather than just at set times in the year.
Well, you've somehow managed to keep pretty busy during Level 4 lockdown, Catherine Robertson. Nice to chat to you, and thanks for sharing a bit of your monthly diary with us.
You're welcome. Happy Level 3.
Yeah, thanks to you as well. It's Catherine Robertson in our regular Tuesday afternoon books slot.